It's indeed a pleasure and a privilege to stand before you to share with you a message. And I told someone I probably am not going to exegete a passage. I'm really kind of preaching a message today like the Word of God speaks to me in daily Bible reading. I read a passage and it says something to me. And I go back and think about what it says to me, and then I go back and study the passage, and that really is not what the passage was about at all. But that was not what God was convicting me about at the time that I was reading it. And so if I don't exegete the passage correctly this morning, y'all just bear with me, because God was impressing on me certain things. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Isaiah, the first chapter, Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 10 through 15, and then we'll come back a little bit later and read a few of the following verses. But Isaiah chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, Isaiah says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. When you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." You know what? Isaiah is addressing the leaders of the nation of Judah. We might well say that he's addressing the leaders of the churches across America and across the world today. And he addresses them regarding some problems that are going on within their own country. And I believe that there are problems that we are facing in our churches today that are very relevant to the problems that Isaiah saw in the nation of Judah, and that God was speaking to him about. As he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, and give ear unto the law of our God." And so we need to hear, and we need to hearken unto the Lord. Now, it's a message to spiritual leaders, to pastors, to ministers, and teachers of today. We need to understand that today that there is a real disconnect that you and I are dealing with on the message that we are preaching Sunday morning to our congregations and the way they are living their lives on Monday morning through Saturday until they come back to the Lord's house the next day. We as ministers and we as teachers and we as spiritual leaders must connect God's people to God's Word, and so that they apply that Word in their lives in a relevant manner and so that it affects them. That disconnect is seen in so many ways. And we confront it every day. I was reading some surveys, and I'm going to share several statistics with you as I go through this. But 65% of young people that were born between 1980 and 1991 are self-professed Christians. Of that 65% who claim to be Christians, 56% of them rarely or never read their Bible. They never open God's Word to allow God to talk to them. Yet you will hear those people on the streets, you will hear them on the evening news telling us what the Bible says, when they have never opened it and read it for themselves. 38% of that 65% will rarely or never voice a prayer to God. Several years ago, I read a statistic that said something like this, that the average Christian spends about 18 seconds a day in prayer. Now, folks, if you say your blessing at a meal, you ought to cover 18 seconds. But Paul says that we should pray without ceasing. There is a disconnect between what the Bible says and what is going on. You see, here was a people who wanted to define their relationship with God. They wanted a relationship with God, yet they wanted to define that relationship. Understand, they were not going to pagan altars. They weren't going to the Mormon church or the Hindu temple or the mosque. They were going to the Lord's temple. And that's where they were preparing their sacrifices. And understand that they were going themselves. They weren't sending the servant. They weren't sending the wife and the kids. They were going themselves. They were fully educated in religion. And they omitted nothing. Isaiah doesn't talk about them bringing the lame lambs or those that were blind or diseased. No, they were bringing the fatted. They were bringing the best. I mean, their worship was top of the line. They knew how to behave themselves religiously. We see them every Sunday morning. They're in church every Sunday morning. They're dressed appropriately. They bring their Bibles. They bring their tithes and their offerings. They sing in the choir. They teach the Sunday school class. They sit in the pews. They visit the sick. They do these other things. They have defined their religion, and they look at themselves and say, "We are religious. We are Christians." But how are we going, to deal with those people? How did Jesus Christ deal with them? He encountered people just like that, didn't he? Listen to what he says to the religious leaders of his time in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, in verses 27 and 28. He says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." He says, "Hypocrites, for you are likened to whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." Yes, Isaiah says, "Hear the word of the Lord." We confront people on a daily basis who want to wear the name of Jesus Christ, but they want to wear it at their convenience. They gather for worship, and they gather for praise and adoration. But Isaiah says that God says that worship is not pleasing unto Him. Notice, he says that bring no more vain oblations. He says incense is an abomination unto me. He says, I cannot, he says the new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the Sabbaths, I cannot with. It is iniquity. He looks at their worship and says, "What is this?" In the book of Revelations, in the church at Laodicea, when Christ looked at those people, he said, "What?" He says, "Because you're lukewarm, you make me sick." We have to be careful today. Isaiah was looking at a people who were in church every Sunday. They were singing the songs the loudest. They were taking part. But God said, "Your worship is sickening unto me. It's not, you haven't connected my word to your behavior and your actions." You see, we have too many people that are gathering for worship that is not pleasing, that indeed God is disgusted and sickened with. He does not hear nor does He appreciate our worship. And I think part of this is it says that He does not hear their prayers. How many prayer meetings do you see advertised? Go to your Tyler, you see a prayer meeting advertised, right? They got the newspaper yesterday or Sunday, and there's a prayer meeting advertised. Pray for our country. Pray for this and pray for this. Pray for America. This is a common theme that we're hearing. Look, these people in Isaiah chapter 1 were praying people. They opened their hands and lifted their voices to God. And they were seen. But God said, I don't hear your prayers. I'm not listening. For you see, America today wants to ask God for God's blessings. They want God to heal our land. They want God to restore us to prominence, and they want God to restore us to privilege. Yet we're not willing to ask God with a repentant heart, confessing of our sins. And true worship for God must involve repentance, turning away from sins. Notice what the writer said there in 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know it. You've heard it quoted so many times. But if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. But notice the prophet there said that he must seek the face of God and that he must turn from his wicked ways. We as a nation today many times are saying, God bless us, but we are not willing to change our behavior. Churches today are asking for God to bless their church and to bless their congregation, but that church and that congregation is not willing to seek the face of God and is not willing to confess its sins and turn from their wicked ways. You see, somehow we as religious leaders must establish God's Word in the heart of His people. We have to connect people to the Word of God. And let me say this, we can never connect people to the Word of God unless we ourselves are connected to the Word of God. We have to have God's Word in us. We have to be providing the moral example before our congregations and before our community. Probably nothing bothers me more than to pick up the newspaper or turn on the news and hear about some preacher that is caught in sin or depravity. But worse than that probably is that preacher who gets up and preaches every Sunday and teaches God's Word and has no concern and no love for the people that he's preaching to. We have to love the Word of God and we have to love God's people. And we have to make that connection. So we must establish God's Word in our heart that we may establish God's Word in the heart of His people. Otherwise, we're going to wind up in our churches, as Isaiah found, with a cold obedience. You know the story of Saul, as Saul went and fought, and then he comes back, and Samuel says, Saul, did you do what God said? And he said, yes. You know, I did what God told me to do. Then Samuel asked him, well, what's the sheep I hear then? Who's this person standing over here? Then in 2 Samuel, there, you know, Samuel says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You see, it's sad when people can be in church on Sunday morning and they somehow think that that makes everything all right. Growing up, I grew up in a kind of a conservative area, and we used to always kind of make fun about the Catholics. You know, go and party on Friday or Saturday, and it didn't matter what you did, as long as you went to confession on Sunday morning, because that made it all right. But you know what I've decided? That we're not much different. We may not go to confession, but we think going to church on Sunday morning makes it all right. I've made amends, God. I was in church on Sunday morning. You see, we live in a society where there is very little statistical difference between those who call themselves Christians and the world. Internet can be a terrible thing, but it can also be an interesting thing. Go and start running statistics. The divorce rate among born-again believers is 32%. The divorce rate, again, those who have no profession of faith at all, is 33%. We are 1% better than a person who claims no relationship with God. And I told my Old Testament class yesterday that in the Garden of Eden, God intended for marriage to work. He didn't give Adam any option, did he? If he divorced Eve, there wasn't anyone else to go to. And that, you know, I think somehow today we excuse problems. God intends for His plan to work. And we as God's children need to convey to people that that is God's expectation. It is God's expectation that we make it work. That we put God in our hearts, that we put God in our lives, and we make a difference. You know, women who also identify themselves as Protestants or Christians account for 37.4% of all abortions that are performed. Now, we can look at statistics. And the sad statistic is that we're in church on Sunday morning. We're in Sunday school. But there's no difference in our people from the rest of the world. We have a responsibility as leaders in the church to connect people to the Word of God. And the writer tells us that we are called not to be like everybody else, but that we're called to be a peculiar people unto God. Folks, let's just understand, God didn't call us to be like the world. As a matter of fact, He reminds us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We must move our congregations to the levels of obedience in their own personal lives, not just in their worship. They've got the worship thing down. They know how to handle that. But how do they handle that relationship Monday morning at work? How do they handle it when they're filling out that insurance form? The value of my car is, well, let's see, I paid $2,000 for it. It's $5,000. Insurance fraud, even among believers, is unreal. That people would take a piece of paper and lie on it. One out of three Americans will cheat on their income tax. Probably more correctly, one out of two. But they'll lie. No, there's just not a relevance there. That we need to preach Jesus Christ. And we need to preach the Word of God that lead people into a right relationship with God according to the truth. And the Bible says the truth will set us free. When we have Jesus Christ in our lives, we can live a life that makes a difference. And when we as spiritual leaders, when we as pastors, when we as teachers, when we as worship leaders within our congregation can live a life that makes a difference, then the people who are observing us in that church and in that congregation, then they too can begin to live lives that will make a difference. Jesus made a difference in the lives of His apostles. They lived a life of difference, and they made a difference in the lives of other people. God has called you to make a difference in the lives of people. Not for them to go about religion as they've always gone about religion, but for them to live Jesus Christ. And for them to make a difference in the people that they're dealing with. You see, are we willing to confront people with the very simple truth that when you put on Jesus Christ, He isn't just your Sunday clothes. He's your everyday clothes. I told the church Sunday, I said, too often today we as Christians put on Jesus Christ when we come into the church. We hang Him on the coat hanger there at the back. And when we come into church, we put Him on. And then after the services, when we leave, we take Him off and hang Him back up, and we go and live our lives. But Jesus is not just our Sunday clothes. He's our everyday clothes. And we must live for Him day by day. You cannot just have Him as the Lord of your life on Sunday. He must be the Lord of everything. 2008 survey showed that 64% of all students cheated on at least one test. And I know that's not a problem here at the seminary. 38% admitted to cheating on more than one. 36% admitted to plagiarizing assignments. First of all, I'm talking about this. It's embarrassing as a preacher when I hear someone in church say that, well, John, you know, Brother So-and-so is preaching on this Sunday morning. And, you know, how do you know that? Is it, it's not in the bulletin. So it's because this sermon website, that's the sermon that's up. And that's the sermon he's preached the last 12 weeks. It's the one that comes up. You see, preachers are guilty of plagiarism also. And then they wonder why the sermon is not effective. They wonder why the Spirit didn't move in the service. See, there's a problem there. But the real problem is that 68% of the people will cheat. 38% will plagiarize. Yet 77% of them will say, my ethics and my moral integrity is good. You see, the world thinks they're all right. We have a responsibility to show them their lives through Jesus Christ. And the only way we can show them their lives through Jesus Christ is for us to see ourselves through Jesus Christ. When we see ourselves as we really are. Paul, the further and the longer he walked with Christ, the more he saw himself as he really was. The more he saw himself as a poor and wretched sinner saved by grace. And oh yeah, we'd like to lift our hands up and say, look at me. I heard someone say, well, just, you know, consider the heart. You know, God knows the heart. Truth of the matter is, God does know the heart. He knows a whole lot more about it than we'd like for him to know. He knows what kind of person we are. You see, we need people to come to understand that God expects holiness from His children. Our society is taking the turn that it has taken. Not because the power of sin has increased, but because you and I have failed to lay hold of what God has given us. And to share that with people. That God calls us to a life of righteousness. That He calls us to a life of holiness. You know, God expects holiness. And America needs to understand. Our churches need to understand. That if our prayers are going to be heard, then we need to be seeking the face of God. We need to be not only repenting of our sins, but turning away from that sin. And that's the challenge that we face, of connecting people with applying the Word of God in their lives. And when we, as God's ministers, when we as God's teachers, can take the Word of God, and we can touch the life of a person, so that it affects them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, then we have introduced that person to Jesus Christ. Because that's what Christ desires to do. Christ desires to influence you when you're making that decision there about filling out the form. Are you honest or are you dishonest? When you're having this conversation over here, Christ wants to be in that conversation. Are you keeping that conversation pure and holy? Are you keeping it on the level that it should be? You see, we need our people to understand that Christ is involved in every aspect of our lives. God has called each of you to make a difference. But in order to make a difference, we have to have a right relationship with God. And as we have a right relationship with God, then we can lead other people to a right relationship so that they in turn can make a difference. I think Isaiah challenges us in many ways. to live righteously, to live holy. But He also challenges us to make a difference. Are we willing to make a difference in our church and in our community? That's what God is calling us to do. That's what He's leading us to.